Hey everyone, it's the Kung Fu Genius, aka Alex Richter. And if you're listening to us on audio only, I'd appreciate you rating and reviewing the podcast wherever you listen to it. And of course, if you like what I do here, don't forget to subscribe to the Kung Fu Genius on YouTube and hit that bell for notifications. Are you a fan of Wing Chun Kung Fu? Well, if you listen to me, I assume you are. I got great news for Kung Fu Genius fans. Right now, you can get an all-access one-month free trial subscription to Wing Chun Illustrated Magazine. Yes, I said free. Go to WCINewsstand.com and register in the upper right-hand corner, fill in your email and password, and use the code KFGTRIAL to get your free trial to the issues from 2011 to the current issue. That's right, all the issues, even the one with this guy on the cover. My Kung Fu Genius column is in all the new issues, as if you need another reason to get this awesome magazine. Go get your free trial subscription today. For all that information, check out the description below. And with that, let's get started.
All right, peeps. On today's episode of The Kung Fu Genius, the genius will be telling some crazy New York stories. Lots of gems, lots of Bruce Lee in the Dominican Republic, lots of Mr. Rosenberg, watch out for that airplane. Let's get to it.
He is unstoppable, unbeatable, unbelievable. He's Alex Richter, the Kung Fu Genius.
And every day, I practice martial arts. What's up?
Word is, I'm a Kung Fu Genius. Practice all day like a genius.
Yo, Dre, how you doing, man?
I'm Gucci. How are you, Sifu?
You look like you're dressed in Gucci. What's up with the suit here, man? What's going on? Is this like a thing now? Like, no. You wait until I come showing up looking like an ass, and then you wear a suit?
No, I got work. I got work later. After.
It's Monday. Don't you normally work on Friday?
I work Thursday through Sunday, but today someone called out, so I had to go in and cover.
When'd you find out about that?
A few minutes ago. Right after class.
But you already came with the suit.
Yeah, I wore it just in case. Someone was going to call out.
Just in case. I think I know what's going on here.
Just in case someone calls out.
Yeah.
Like a doctor.
Got it.
On call.
It's not just because you want to be dressed up when I'm not or anything like that, huh?
It has nothing
to do with that. Your name is monogrammed on that suit, son. All right? I saw that on the shirt and on the jacket. Dre is fancy.
Just initials.
Just monogrammed initials, yes. Although your jacket actually has your name on it, all right? So you don't come to me with that stuff. You're full of it, man.
Nothing fancy.
I get it, all right? So
It's just for memory purposes.
Yeah, you dress fancy. I look like an ass.
No.
I come wearing something fancy. You look like an ass to make it look like I'm trying too hard.
Totally unintentional.
I'm starting to see the pattern here, all right?
There's no intention.
We'll see what happens in the next episode. So anyway, here we are with another episode. We're not going to do an AMA today.
I understand that. We're going back into, year three?
Not year three. I'm just going to tell, we're going to do more New York stories, right? Because people like that. And it's been a long time since we did it. We did two other New York stories, obviously, for people who are new to the podcast. Mm-hmm. I teach Wing Chun Kung Fu here in New York City. Next year is going to be my 20th anniversary. Okay. And if you can imagine, if you ever watch movies of things that took place in New York City, New York City's a wild and crazy place, all right? So
wild and crazy town,
small town. Over the years, all the things that have happened here have been pretty wild. I mean, if you're teaching Chinese martial arts in a modern day and age in a big city like New York, you can imagine that some crazy stuff happens over time. And so I did, we did very early on in the podcast, we did year one, where I talked about when I first established my school and like all the stuff I had to go through and, you know, the Taoist priest who like set the place on fire and like all sorts of crazy stuff, right? And so if people want to like hear a little bit more about those early days, we have the New York Stories year one. And then after that, I did kind of like year two and three, kind of combined in one video where I talked about like the first time I brought Sifu Leung Ting to New York and meeting Sifu Carson Lau and, you know, a few other weird things, creepy NLP people and stuff like that. So those first two episodes
Good
on
stuff.
The New York Stories are, pretty solid. And if people want to know about that stuff, you can go back and revisit that. I decided I'm not going to do like year 4 or 5, and because there are so many stories and I don't always know exactly what year something happened, right? What I did is I've compiled most of them because I do plan at some point in the future to write about all this stuff in a book, write about my time with Sifu Lan Ting. Because I've had the weird luck, like Forrest Gump.
You have a title for the book?
I might, but I'm not telling it. I have kind of a weird Forrest Gump type life where it's like I end up in like the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time or whatever, and I'm kind of there when certain things happen. So I've bore witness to a lot of political events in the WT world, some kind of crazy things that happened in Sifu Lan Ting's life and the Wing Chun world here in general, things that happened in the European Wing Chun world and stuff like that. So I was like kind of around when a lot of these things happened. And I also know a lot of people who are involved in some of like the major events in the Wing Chun world and have had the chance to hear a lot of that stuff kind of firsthand from them. So I think like, you know, I should just put all that stuff in a book for posterity.
Right place at the right time.
Right place at the right time. So, some stories are really funny. Some are super embarrassing. And one of the things that I've done is I've compiled a lot of the crazy things that happened in New York. So if my, you know, I wrote a couple notes here just to make sure that I remembered like the stories that I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And also to keep me on track because I can just go on and on about different things that happen. So I'm, you know, going to try to stay on track and give you guys a couple good ones today. But this is by no means exhaustive. And I'll put them all out in the book. But, you know, I wanted to paint a picture of like as a martial arts school owner in New York City, you know, my main focus is the students and obviously running my school. And for me, I love Wing Chun. I just want to teach Wing Chun, practice Wing Chun and develop it. But, you know, when you run a business, you got business stuff you got to deal with. When you're in the city, you got city stuff you got to deal with. And the number of just, I'm not going to say completely insane, because sometimes what's insane for other people is just Monday in New York.
Yeah.
All right. You know, when people come on our subways and they're not from New York and they see some EDP, an emotionally disturbed person on the subway.
Some EPMD.
Acting up and going crazy. You know, that's like really scary for people who are new to New York. Meanwhile, all the New Yorkers are not even looking up. They're looking at their phone. No one's paying any attention. Right. So it's all about, you know, what is the threshold of what you think is kind of crazy and weird and acceptable in behavior. I'm pretty sure that a lot of my martial arts contemporaries here in New York, whether that's like Sifu Carl Albright, who's been around way longer than me. I mean, he was teaching martial arts before I was even born. I'm sure the stories he has teaching Kung Fu in New York City probably trump mine to the 10th degree because he's been around for so long, right? And I'm sure Sifu Paul Ko down in Bo Law, who's been around for a very long time, I'm sure, you know, and he teaches a far more traditional-based martial, like Wing Chun is, you know, Wing Chun's a traditional martial art, but it's, you know, we're a little bit different from a lot of the more traditional Kung Fu styles that have lots of forms and weapons and things like that. And so I'm pretty sure the types of people who go in there off of some kind of Kung Fu movie fantasy stuff that want to go and learn from him. So I can imagine, like, maybe we should have some of these guys on
Definitely
the podcast.
Coming out of the 70s era, too.
Especially 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah.
So I consider myself, like, I have some crazy stories, but like, you know, I'm a Johnny come lately. Like, you know, I'm here way after like the crazy, like the real crazy time for Kung Fu in New York
Wild West.
Was the 70s and the 80s, right? So I came way after the fact when most of the schools were established, and you know, even by the early 2000s when I started, you know, MMA and jiu-jitsu were obviously getting prominence and stuff like that. So it wasn't as like contentious as it was in the old days where you had all the Kung Fu factions warring against each other. I do definitely want to have Sifu Albright on here. I actually talked to him about that a few months ago at a showing of Paper Tigers at the Museum of the Moving Image.
Yeah.
And he said he'd do it. So I would love to get him in here and have him like tell
I'm
some
sure
of those
he
old
has
stories.
His fair share.
Well, you know, I mentioned to you before the movie The Last Dragon, you know, Bruce Leroy.
Yeah.
He has a martial arts school in the movie, and you know, Shonef comes in there, you know, makes him kiss his Converse in there, right? That school, that was Sifu Carl Albright's school back in the day. I think it was in Harlem, and that was in the 80s. They needed a legit Kung Fu school to shoot that scene in The Last Dragon. And that's Sifu Carl Albright's school. He's one of my good friends. So he's been around so long in the 80s when they needed a Kung Fu school. Like, yeah, we shoot it at that dude's place, right? And so he's an expert in Hong Kun and Praying Mantis, a bunch of other styles. I mean,
you
got to
get City Wing Chun in some movies too.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. Yeah, that'd be totally awesome.
He's lit.
It would be lit, right? Maybe maybe a David Henry Hwang can direct something and we can get him over here, right? And then everyone will just be staring at him the whole time. What? Why is everyone looking at me like that? Oh, no, nothing. All right? Anyway, yes.
JCVD up in here.
JCVD, yeah. At the time of this recording, it's his birthday. By the time this recording comes out, it'll be 3 years later. Happy belated to JCVD. Anyway, one of the crazy things that happens when you have a martial arts school in New York is, one, you get insane walk-ins, like people who walk in off the street. They see a sign that says Kung Fu, and it sometimes doesn't attract the most mature adults, all right? So you have some people coming in off the streets, you get crazy phone calls, you get all sorts of wild stuff, wild emails and things like that. And I talked a little bit about that in like the first two episodes we did about New York stuff, where I had like, did I mention like with a guy who just kept repeating himself on the voicemail? I think I told that story, right? And so like, you know, it's just like until the thing cut off. And then the guy would just be like, CDWT.com, Wing Chun, Kung Fu, City, Wing Chun, da, 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 again and again. And what I realized he was doing is he was speaking of crazy New York stuff, right? There are the sirens going on in the background, right?
That's how you know
we're in New York, right? And basically he was reading my classified ad over and over and over again, which wasn't a very long ad until my voicemail cut him off, and then he would call back and do it again, right? So, and that would be like 3, 4, 5 in the morning, stuff like really crazy stuff, right? So anyway, I had a student many years ago, a female student who was very, she liked to go out to like bars and clubs and stuff like that. And she loved Wing Chun. So she would go to bars and clubs and she would talk to anybody about Wing Chun that she could. She'd be like, oh, you know, I learned Wing Chun at City. Wing Chun is so great. And like, you know, she was a great spokesman for me.
Yeah, we do get the occasional club goer or person that works in the club
industry. Yeah, yeah, like the entire staff of KFG.
All right? Why are you looking at me?
Yeah, you work in that industry too.
Yeah, exactly. Are you looking yourself in the mirror again?
That's right. Man in the mirror with a monogram suit.
Yeah, in that suit, he can't help but look at himself.
We're disguised as a restaurant, though.
Yes. So anyway, she would go and she actually got a lot of students to join my school because she would go out and she would like, you know, sometimes you have students like that really pass the word on and get people to come in.
Yeah.
Anyway, one day she comes in and she goes, Sifu, I met a guy at some club or whatever, and his name is, and I'm not going to say his name, in research for this episode, I Googled his name. And nothing came up. But I still don't want, like, you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to, like, embarrass the dude or whatever. But he had, he's from the Dominican Republic, and he had a four-part name. Like, let's say, Julio, Fernandez, Jimenez, the third, something like that. Like, some kind of name like that, right? Bop, 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 bop.
My people's up in the Heights.
Yes. So anyway, she talks to this guy and tells him all about, you know, oh, I'm doing Wing Chun or whatever. And he goes, wow, that's amazing. I learned from Bruce Lee back in the Dominican Republic. Okay. And so already you have to go like, okay. And then he proceeds to tell her, not only did he learn from Bruce Lee in the Dominican Republic in the 60s, but he also has his own martial arts style.
Oh, and in the 60s, though. Not post-Bruce Lee death.
No, that's David Henry Hwang. You're confusing conspiracy theories here, right?
Definitely, my bad.
So anyway, and then he said not only that, he's also created his own martial arts style, which, by the way, I've Googled and you cannot find it anywhere, called Wu Deer. Wu, like martial, like Wu, right? Deer,
like,
well, it sounds like, you know, like deer so-and-so, like D-E-A-R. That's how he spells it. But it's supposed to be
antlers deer.
Yeah, but it's this same sound. But it's spelled, it actually should be pronounced die, because it's Mandarin for butterfly. So it's supposed to be martial butterfly. But first of all, it doesn't make any sense. Okay. It's one of those things that, like, someone who doesn't know Chinese looks up some random Chinese words and puts them together and thinks that it makes sense because it makes sense in English. So he did not ask a Chinese person if it makes sense.
Maybe he went in as a caterpillar, came out as a butterfly.
It's possible. It's possible. So anyway.
Listening to Wu-Tang.
His martial arts style is martial butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a combination of pretty much every style known to man. All right?
Yes.
And so... And okay. then he proceeds to tell my student, like, well, maybe your Sifu will want to hire me as an instructor because I'm, like, so experienced.
Well, meanwhile, he mastered all these styles in order to...
And created his own, right? And meanwhile, he's basically just saying that he has his own style and he's mastered all these styles. And based on that, he's like, maybe your Sifu will want to hire me to teach at his school. And so anyway, my female student, she comes back. She tells me about this. She's like, yeah, he's a really great guy. You'll definitely like to meet him. Already from what she told me.
Setting up the interview.
Yeah, but already what she told me, I never want to see this guy ever, okay? First of all, learn from Bruce Lee in the Dominican Republic. Get out of here, all right? Second of all, has his own martial arts style with a nonsensical Chinese name. Get out of here. And third, that style is a synthesis of all sorts of styles that have no business being together. Okay? All right? So I'm like, oh, man. And then she showed me a photo of this guy.
Yeah.
And he just looked like he's just some old viejo. You know, he's just some old viejo. He's like, look, I'm half Cuban, all right? I mean, like, he's just some old viejo you would see in Miami.
Oh,
you know, he's an old, old Spanish-looking dude.
Okay.
You wouldn't look at this guy and go like, oh, this guy looks like he has... He has the bone structure of a kung fu genius, right? You just look at him and you just go, like, you buy cigars from this guy downtown.
It's my Theo Papo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he looks like, right? So I see this, I'm like, nah, I'm not too interested, right? So anyway, about a week later, I get a voicemail. The voicemail also ominously left at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And he goes, hello. And his voice was like that. Hello, my name is Sifu Julio Chavez, the third, whatever, you know, I'm not going to say his name, right? But it's like, Julio Chavez, Hernandez, Rodriguez, the third, right? And I am the founder of Woo Deer. But this is exactly how he's talking, right? I never save the message because that's like, you know, we're talking like 2007. It's not like now you can save everything easily on your phone. Back then, maybe I had a stupid Nokia phone. Like, I didn't save it. I couldn't save it or whatever. And the voice message, but it was so bizarre. And I played it so many times for my like instructors that it's kind of etched. Maybe it's not 100% correct. I do the best of my recollection. But he's like, you know, I am, you know, Julio. Blah, 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 blah. I am the founder of Wu Deer. Wu Deer is a martial art that is the synthesis of. And then you ever see Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, when he's about to say some like he's about to explain like the history of the dolphin and he goes. And then he just starts talking and he does like the whole thing in one breath without like stopping, right? It was exactly like that. He goes, and like, Wu Deer is a style that is a synthesis of boxing, karate, kung fu, Shaolin. And then he would just started listing all these things, jujitsu, aikido. But then he would say stuff like competitive judo, practical judo, explosive judo, karate, practical karate, Okinawan karate, Chinese karate. And it was just like a word salad of like styles and names and judo. But I always, and I'm not even making that up for the sake of being funny on the podcast. He literally said judo, explosive judo. Okay. And I always thought, like, what's the difference between normal judo and explosive judo, right? Okay.
Judo no.
Yeah, judo no, right? It's definitely Dominican judo. Judo no, I got a gun. Judo no, I got a knife. All right. By the way, that's also Cuban judo. That's also Cuban judo, and it's also Puerto Rican judo. Judo no, I got a gun. Judo no, I got a knife. All right. All right. So there you go.
Judo no.
Judo no. Judo no. Okay. All right. But he didn't know. Judo no. All right. It was explosive. All right. Yeah. Crazy, right? So anyway, and he's listing these styles. Boxing, competitive boxing, Olympic boxing. And then he goes halfway in between. He goes, and I have learned from the man, he himself. So I'm thinking like Jesus Christ. All right. The man, he himself, Bruce Lee in Jeet Kune Do, Wing Chun, Hong Kong Wing Chun. And it just goes on and on and on. Eventually.
He said Hong Kong Wing Chun.
Said everything. He literally, it's like word. It's like word bingo salad. He had Hong Kong, Japan, Okinawa, American, explosive. Oh, he had all these words.
Did he say Japanese Wing Chun?
I'm sure. I wouldn't be shocked if he did. And then he had Styles on the other side, and you it's like he's just in front, you know, those magnet words, right? And he's just in front of his refrigerator, just combining just words that have no business being with each other, right?
Magnet words. He put them.
It was like a word salad. It was a cacophony of hot nonsense.
I need to get some more of those magnets.
So yeah, it's great, great for your vocab, right?
It sounds like the movie phone guy.
That is my takeaway from
this. So anyway. Eventually, the voicemail cuts him off because, yo, Nifka, there's like a 2-minute limit on the voicemail, right? He gets cut off. And just like every other EDP that ever called that voicemail,
damn.
He called back and started the message from the beginning again as if somehow the result is going to be different. No. If I just say it a little bit faster, maybe I'll get all the way to the end.
Yes.
And then he goes, and I would like to come to your school because I can offer a lot to your students, right? And then I just go, oh my God. And then, of course, I tell my assistant at that time, Mike, play this thing for him. I'm like, dude, this is crazy.
Did we get Mike to do an intro for him?
No. So first of all, like, I didn't really want to meet this guy because I could already tell from what my student told me and what I heard on the voicemail. This dude's a nut job, all right? Like, most of what he's saying is just a bunch of hot nonsense, EPMD. Right? EPMD, yeah, an EPMD, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't think anything of it. I think he left his number on that second message, and I didn't bother calling him, all right?
I would have
called. Now, by the way, this is in, like, the mid-2000s, all right? And at that time, obviously, we already have the internet, we have a website, we have all this stuff. But one of the ways where you kept up with who was teaching in New York City is you went to the martial arts stores. You had New Hope here in Midtown on 6th Avenue, and you had like BLT because all the martial arts schools would leave their flyers there. You know, like once a week I would send someone down to go drop off some flyers at the martial arts store. So when you would go down there, you would go, you'd see flyers made from other Wing Chun schools, other Kung Fu schools or whatever. And, you know, every once in a while I would stop and I would look, okay, who else is teaching? What are they offering? What's going on? And so you kind of knew whether you saw them on the internet or you just actually knew who they were from the martial arts stores, right? And I never saw a flyer for Wu Deer. Oh, I never saw anything like that. So I was hoping you were going to say that. And I had seen some. I've seen some wacky shit at the martial arts store, right?
Right.
But no Wu Deer. All right.
Oh goodness.
So anyway, one day I have to say it was probably about a month later. I didn't bother calling back, Mandingo or whatever his name was, and so I was just here. All right. And,
I don't remember.
Right?
Luis yes. Chavez Rodrigo.
It was a name that didn't end. Okay, and so look, man, on my Cuban side, some of my Cuban cousins, most of them are named Miguel. All right, and they also have like 20 middle names or whatever. Right, I don't have a middle name. Right, but I get it. I grew up in family where this was like a big thing. Yeah, right, so anyway,
two middle names.
I'm here, right, in the office. And suddenly, there's this like, so I'm here, a couple of my students, Wei Leung, one of my senior students, your Si Heng, they were here. I had a couple of my students from Connecticut. So I just finished teaching class. In my mind's eye, I think it was a Saturday, something like that. Or maybe it was a weeknight. I don't know. And we hear this like commotion outside. And then suddenly, Drea, shit thee not. You know where the front door is, right? Yeah. The front door, he swings the front door open like he's making an entrance, like he's Kramer, all right? He swings the front door open. And then, you know, our door opens towards the hall, right? So the door opens and like you don't see him yet because the door opened. You hear the door open, right? And everyone looks there, right? And then so you can, we're sitting over here on this side, like in the waiting area.
Yeah.
So you see the wall from the side. So you don't see into the door, you see from the side.
Right.
So you don't know until the person walks through. You don't see them in the door. You see them once they go through.
Yeah.
He sends a front kick into the building first. So he does a front kick into the space and then like steps in. And then does like another kick and then starts doing like what looks like 80s kickboxer size aerobics. Okay. He has a suitcase in one hand. All right. He's got like corduroy pants hiked up to his mid stomach. He has a shirt, a white shirt.
Wait, no, no. This is, no, no, no.
Yes.
No,
no, no this no, is no. exactly what happened, right?
No, no, no. He's, no, 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 no.
He's wearing a white shirt that says Wing Chun on it. Okay? Now, the crazy thing about that white shirt, all right? That white shirt is from Chinatown. Because at the martial arts store in Chinatown, they sold shirts that was like Tai Chi, Kung Fu, and they're just like generic ones. It's not a shirt from a school. It's like, one you buy in Chinatown.
Like the John Lennon New York City?
Yes.
Like that?
Yeah, but it was it, the funny thing is actually it's William Chung's logo. It's actually William Chung's silhouette, but that's not a William Chung shirt. Someone in Chinatown just took the logo and just put Wing Chun on it.
Genericized it. Yeah.
And so he's in there and he's like flapping his arms in the most obviously untrained way you've ever seen, okay? Like, if someone has learned martial arts in their life and they start, like, mucking around, you at least see, like, okay, well, this person's doing something. They're just clowning around. You look at this guy and you're like, this is a clown. This is a clown. And as soon as I saw that, immediately before he opened his mouth, I knew that this is our boy, Mandingo Chavez Jr., Caesar the 18th. All right? And I was just like, oh, man. And and the crazy thing is he kicks into the space and he does this thing and he's like, ah, I am. And he introduces his name and he's saying this whole thing like it's a speech that he's practiced many times before.
But here's the crazy thing. Voicemail.
But here's the crazy thing. He didn't look at anyone in the space. It's like he just walked in and he just starts doing this monologue. So he didn't look up to see, is there anyone in there? Is anyone looking at him? He's not even made eye contact with anyone. He's just flapping his limbs, saying this monologue, right? And truly in the vein of someone who's never walked into someone's martial arts school before. Can you imagine walking into a Brazilian jiu-jitsu school and doing a front roll and then like doing jumping jacks and starting a monologue? You know, without even looking at who's in there? Would you do that at a karate school? Would you do that at a kung fu? You wouldn't do that anywhere. Would you do that at the DMV? No, all right?
Oh, I might do it at the DMV.
Maybe you, all right? But anyway.
I'm doing it next Tuesday. Yeah.
So clearly this is someone who's never actually been in a martial arts school before. He's like, you don't do that when you go into a martial arts school. I saw this and I peaced out. I went right into the office. I'm just like, I don't want to have to talk to this dude, right? And so Wei, my Chinese student, whom I had told him about this guy before, Wei was really sharp.
Okay.
I think Wei saw immediately, he must be this clown, right? So Wei just walks right up to him. And he's like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? And I'm sitting in here and I can hear the whole thing. I am blah, 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 Mandingo the Third, blah, 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 blah. And he's saying all this stuff, all right? And I learned from Bruce Lee and I want to know if I can work here and you know, and teach his style, right? And Wei is like, oh, no, like, you know, Sifu is like really busy. And he goes, well, aren't you the Sifu? Like, he doesn't even know what Alex Richter looks like. And Wei is a technician. He's Chinese. Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, I'm not the Sifu here. I'm the student. He goes, where's the Sifu? And then he points to my photo and sees, oh, sorry, I just gave his name away. beep that out, Andrew, all right? he sees that, like, oh, it's a white dude or whatever, right? And he goes, the Sifu's a white guy? Which says the dude from the Dominican Republic who started his own martial art, right? And then Wei goes, yeah. And he goes, and he must be pretty good if a Chinese guy like me is learning from him. And then Wei just entertains the guy a little bit and literally sends the guy out, right? And then we never heard of that dude again, right?
But you haven't heard from again since. I mean, no.
What?
I mean,
what?
Mandingo. Andrew, you got to beep that out. Right? Yes. Okay. So.
Sound trombone.
Sound trombone.
So, anyway, I'm thinking like, man, this freaking lunatic, right? He had like, you know, he had the stones to go in there and really try to pitch himself at a legitimate martial arts school.
This is great.
But then I worried about something, all right? Because one thing you know, growing up in New York, being in New York is very different, you know, from people who grew up in the suburbs or grow in the countryside. It's very different. If you're in the countryside, all right, let's say you grew up in the burbs. Let's say you grew up in the Jersey Pine Barrens.
I'm getting that burb feel. Yes.
And you go to school there,
Mm-hmm.
And you got a friend that's like, yo, my dad learned from Bruce Lee in the Dominican Republic. You would not, dude, you're full of crap. No one here, like that doesn't happen, right? But then you hear some wild thing like that in New York and your initial BS radar is like, get the F out of here, right? But then you start to go, I've met people who I didn't think were credible at all. They told me some stuff. And it ends up being true. And then you go, yeah, because it's New York. You attract a different caliber of people who actually have connections to entertainment, connections to this and stuff. Like the average person in New York has interacted with a celebrity at least at some point in their life,
right? The time our boy told us that he goes to college with Stevie Wonder's son. And then we actually end up clubbing like a week later with Stevie Wonder's son.
Crazy, huh?
And Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. And that can happen. Now, if you were in the burbs and someone told that story, you'd be like, get out of here. But you're suddenly in New York. It's like, nah, we did go clubbing with Stevie Wonder's son. It's like, yeah, okay, right? Like crazier stuff has happened, right?
And he brought his dad out with him randomly.
I mean, I literally years ago bumped into Alan Rickman, in Bryant Park. I scared the actress Julie Delpy. I don't know if you know who she is. She was in Before Sunrise. I literally freaked her out once.
Yeah.
I had to go home. It was raining one day and I had to bring some stuff from the school back to my house. But it was raining and I didn't have a bag. So I put a bunch of stuff in a garbage bag, right?
Yeah.
Like just like training equipment I had to bring home, put it in a garbage bag, and I threw it over my shoulder and it's raining. And I'm going like this, and she comes out of that hotel across from Bryant Park.
Yeah.
And I saw her and I remember looking at her and going like, oh, it's Julie Delpy, the actress. And it was raining. I went underneath and walked towards her and she looked at me and she just backed away like, oh my God, what is this guy coming at me? And I was like, oh God, I just scared the hell out of this poor actress, right? No fault of my own, right? And so, you know, and I saw Beyonce get out of a car. Yeah. I'd be like, look, if you're in New York, this stuff happens, right?
Yeah, but it's, by that rationale, like I met Ice-T, but that doesn't mean to say that I've got to join Body Count. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, but still, just if there's even a connection
but
in New York,
this is
possible.
What New York is about. I'm the biggest New York Knick fan, and now I work at the restaurant that they all love, and it's their favorite restaurant to eat after they finish a game.
Yes,
and it's like. What's happening?
It's wild,
here?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Brendan works downtown. He sees Chappelle, all these guys. It's normal, right?
It's normal.
So anyway, this is the name dropping episode, by the way, of the KFG. All right.
Excellent. I've got plenty too.
Yes. So anyway, I start to think, is it possible that this guy learned from Bruce Lee in the Dominican Republic? All right, because look, all right, the guy seems to be so convinced of this story.
Yeah.
Who am I to say this is bullshit, all right? I've been wrong on less crazy stuff, all right?
Well, he seems like the character that Bruce Lee would gravitate towards.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Like, I want you
I did. I did some research. Now, of course, this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee went to the Dominican Republic.
That's right.
He went to the Dominican Republic with the Taekwondo master, Jun Ri. Because Jun Ri was opening like a bunch of schools. And this was, I believe, you know, in the lull after Bruce lost Green Hornet. So he's basically, Bruce has got to do gigs to survive at this. This is before he went to Hong Kong to make films, right?
There was a photo that I specifically was like, yo, what is this photo?
Yeah, where
and
he
you
has
were
the,
like,
where
that's
he,
when Bruce went to
yeah,
the
where
DR.
Yeah, where he has the Malta. Also, he was drinking the Malta. There's like a brand of Malta that's big in the DR, right? And, you know, I grew up drinking Malta Goya, but there's like in the Dominican Republic, there's like a brand and there's a photo of Bruce Lee with that brand in his hand, right?
Oh, yes.
And he also wore like the striped shirt, like a short sleeve shirt with stripes. And he gave some demonstrations over there. So he met a bunch of karate practitioners there. So you start to go, okay, but this guy made it sound like he learned Wing Chun and Jeet Kune Do from Bruce Lee and got certified.
Yeah.
All right, when there's nothing to indicate that Bruce was in Dominican Republic for more than a week. Okay? But you
it's
start
a seminar, though.
But you start
get
to see...
certified in a seminar, though.
Yeah, some people, right? So, but you start to see after a while, you go, but this is the pathology of people who lie about their martial art credentials, okay? Like Frank Dukes creating like his whole Kumite story.
That was a lie?
For sure, Frank Dukes has some actual martial arts. Like he actually did learn some martial arts. But then he embellishes a few facts and then suddenly he creates this entire world that's not real.
Bloodsport's a lie?
Not Bloodsport. That's totally
that's
true.
That's a documentary.
Yeah, that's a documentary. I'm just saying everything else that he's ever said. But Bloodsport's totally true. All right? Yeah.
And just making sure. I was almost crushed.
But then also like that phony YouTuber Beardy, all right, with his like making up all this stuff or whatever.
Beardy's a lie?
Yes. So people get away with it once and there's no pushback and then like that little seed becomes like something else and something else. So what happens is
start to believe their own lie.
Well, they know and it starts to snowball until the thing is so well fabricated in their heads that now it's a story, right? So I can imagine, given this dude's age, he probably was a young kid when Bruce Lee came to. Now you can imagine someone like Bruce Lee coming to the Dominican Republic when you grow up there. This is a huge thing. He's a huge star. All right. And then you get to meet him. Maybe he was learning karate at that time and Bruce came and like corrected his karate punch or something like that. Or he did a kick or whatever. And then Bruce leaves. And that's 40 something years ago. And then suddenly his interaction with Bruce Lee over the time, because it happened when he was a kid.
Changed his life.
It starts to change a little bit. And then year by year, he's had more and more and more and more interaction until at some point he's literally telling people that Bruce taught him Jeet Kune Do and Wing Chun. So the funny thing is that I don't know if this guy met Bruce Lee in the Dominican Republic, but I can imagine that something like what I just came up with might be the story, right? So you have this Walter Mitty thing, like the fake YouTuber Beardy and Frank Dukes and Ashita Kim and all of these guys, right? They probably had some martial arts or they did something and then they created a little bit of a fantasy story and then that thing snowballed into the next thing until eventually the whole thing takes a life of its own, right? Bloodsport came about.
I mean, but also like, you know, as a sound engineer, like I have, you know, I set up the setup for like Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings while we're still like, you know,
name dropping.
Right? Uh-huh. Yes. And Prince came along and guested, right, at some secret show. So I just would tell people I did sound for Prince once.
Yes, of
like
course.
It's sort of factually true.
Right.
But
you stretch it just a little bit.
You don't say any more than that, right?
Right.
Like, so then you let other people's, and it's the thing is for me, like that's a resume padder, right? So
yes.
I put that on a resume. I legitimately did that. I don't go around telling people that I went on tour with him.
Yes, of course.
But if the person decides to be like, oh, wow, so you did sound for Prince with MSG. I mean, like.
Yeah, of course.
Was it?
Yeah.
You tell me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But that's the problem, right? And so you have these kind of types here. Reminds me of like just also you have people who kind of create their credentials out of like some kind of some stories that are maybe not that legit. And then you have other people who have like so you know that there are people that have body dysmorphia, which is a very serious problem, right? Mm-hmm. People who look in the mirror and what they see in the mirror doesn't really reflect what everyone else sees, right? Bodybuilders have this problem, right? They're jacked and they look in the mirror and they see themselves as being really small or they see every little imperfection as being fat or water.
Mm-hmm.
And so body dysmorphia is a big problem, right? But there's almost something similar, but in the exact opposite direction. There are people, and this is part of what's kind of known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. There are people who have such little experience in a field that they highly overestimate how much they think they know. And so that's why people who overestimate their competency, where they think like, oh, yeah, I totally know this, I get this, are usually people who don't really know that much about a subject, right? And so as people actually become experts over time, their confidence in what they know actually goes down. Because the more you learn, the more you realize I can still be wrong. There's certain things I don't know. So the people who are full of confidence.
You learn that you don't know shit.
You learn that you don't know shit, right? So the Dunning-Kruger effect is basically that people who are at a very low level of competence are not competent enough to realize how incompetent they are. Which is why they highly overestimate how much they think they know. Meanwhile, experts are riddled with doubts because they know how complex most things are. And then only when someone is like a real old, salty expert that's been doing something for 50 years, does their confidence start to raise a little bit in what they actually know because they really know that they know it, right? And they can be more confident because also if there's something they don't know, they'll just say, oh, I don't know that. It's not a matter of confidence. They're just like, yeah, I cannot speak to this topic because it's not my area of expertise. Whereas a beginner will just make shit up just to make it sound like they know what they're talking about, right? So anyway, we had, like, I call him the poster boy for the Dunning-Kruger effect. Mm-hmm. So it's similar to our Woo Deer founder, but, like, in a different thing. The guy joined my school, and he was a middle-aged dude, right? Kind of average for a lot of the students that come to the school. You know, we tend to have a slightly older, more professional crowd. But he came to class wearing those goggles all the time with the croakies. You know, the croakies are those bands that keep your glasses from falling off. Oh, they kind of like hold it there, whatever. Yeah. Because, you know, some martial arts schools like JKD, some things like that, they're always doing the eye jab. So people are always worried about getting their eyes gouged out in the middle of class.
All right.
And so there are some people that when they come to martial arts training, they basically wear those like goggles and it's like, hell, yeah. Because, like, you know, training is so severe. Like, you know, I don't want to get poked out. I don't want to get eyes poked out. It's like,
yeah.
No one's going to try to gouge your eyes out at City Wing Chun, all right? Don't worry, you're okay, all right? But anyway, he would show up to that because he had done some martial arts before. And he claimed that he, you know, had like a black belt or something like that in Shotokan. And that he had learned Wing Chun from another school here in New York, which no longer exists. But he had learned for 1 year. And I was like, okay, fine. And then he joined this. It was a big deal, kind of normal martial arts resume. But the guy, he was kind of a short guy and very out of shape, all right? Which is like every other student who joins here, right? Okay, right. Like you join, you're out of shape, you get in shape, you do martial arts, right? So for me, you know, not trying to like call the guy out as being like not a specimen of anything or whatever, but it's important for you to know that because it was not at all reflective in his behavior. So... Hey, Kung Fu Genius listeners, if you're looking for an easy way to support this podcast, please consider joining the Kung Fu Genius Patreon. You can support for as little as $5 a month and get access to episodes a few days early. Higher levels of support get additional goodies, exclusive content, and even your name in the description. The baller level of support will give you the opportunity to be a Dre for a day and give me a rest from this guy over here. A link for the Kung Fu Genius Patreon page is in the description below. You can also support us by subscribing to the Kung Fu Genius on YouTube, liking this video, and sharing it on your social media platforms. When you subscribe on YouTube, don't forget to hit that bell for notifications so you will know as soon as a new episode or a premiere is available for you to watch. For those of us who listen to us on audio, it's a huge help if you don't just rate the podcast, but also write a review wherever you listen to the Kung Fu Genius, such as Apple or Google Podcasts. I really appreciate it. And now back to me. So he joins the school, right? And then he, you know, he had learned Wing Chun from another school and he really couldn't do anything. Like you throw a punch at him and he would try to bonks out block, catch it or whatever. You know, you fire a quick jab at him and he's trying to chase hands and he didn't have like the basics down, right? But he claimed that he knew the wooden dummy and he knew all this stuff after doing 1 year of training elsewhere, right? So I was like, okay, but I'm like, you're still going to have to learn at the beginning from me, right? But he couldn't stop a punch. He couldn't say, he didn't understand about going forward, closing the gap, any of this. And that's okay. He's a beginner in my school. He'll learn like everyone else. But right. He came to me really hot about how much he knew and what he could do. And I'm like, oh, okay. I would never go to a martial arts school to learn something and then try to impress that instructor about how good I was when I'm like, I'm there to learn. What does it matter? Like, I'm just there to learn. Who cares, right? But he's like, oh, no, you know, black belt and this and all this kind of stuff, right? And then so I noticed when he was training with the students, he was always doing everything wrong, which is okay. He was a beginner. But he was always correcting all the other students. So and so the instructor had to come over and constantly, I wasn't teaching too many of his class, but the instructor had to come over and constantly be like, no, don't do that thing that he told you. Do this instead or whatever, right? And I remember one of my assistants at that time, we were doing like steps and punches, you know, crowding your opponent, keeping pressure on them so that they cannot kick you, right? Once you close the gap, you want to keep the guy from kicking you. So what do you have to do? You have to keep continual pressure using big bow, you know, crowding steps and all this kind of stuff, right? So the exercise was basically the guy throws a kick at you, you close the gap, and then you're just going to stay on him like white on rice and drive the person all the way into the wall and not let them kick you again. The kicker's job was to try to get a second kick off. And your job was to not let your partner get another kick. So super basic Wing Chun 101 type exercise, right?
Right.
And so, you know, one of my students was like a mid-level at that time. You know, he's training with this guy. We'll just call him Goggles. And Goggles tries to throw a karate kick. And despite the fact that he said he was a black belt or whatever, he couldn't throw a decent roundhouse kick, right? You would expect if he's a black belt to at least have a decent roundhouse kick, right? He didn't. So, you know, my student goes in, chain punches him all the way to the wall and pins him on the wall. But using controlled force, it's all safe training. This is not Cobra Kai or anything like that. Brings him to the wall.
Yeah.
and gets him there. And then, you know, so the exercise is done. He's pinned him to the wall. And then he goes, okay, good. And then Goggles looks at my student, my other student, and goes, yeah, but I can still kick you from here. And meanwhile, he's almost in the fetal position against the wall, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so my student just kind of looked at him and was like, what do you mean? And he goes, yeah, I could totally kick you from here. He literally was not in a position to kick. And if he even tried to raise his leg, he'd just eat another punch and that would be it, right? And so, and then my student's like, okay. And then he looks at him, he goes, and he talked like this, for if you do not believe that I cannot kick you, you do not understand the dynamics of kicking. Like he talked like that. Mind you, this is like a middle-aged dude who is severely out of shape, wearing goggles in the class. Okay, oh, yes. So anyway, you know, a couple more little incidences like that, and then at the end of one of my classes, he goes, when am I going to learn the wooden dummy? And I go, well.
He said that he during said the lineup or
after we bowed out, right? And I go, right. Well, you're in your third week here. And, you know, I'm trying to, if in a very politely way, say, like, what you learned before doesn't really transfer here. And you cannot, to quote the RZA, fight your way out of a wet paper bag with scissors in your hands.
Yeah.
And so if you cannot stop a punch and you cannot stop a basic kick, you have no business clacking away on a piece of wood because priorities. You need to learn how to defend common attacks first. So he's like, oh, well, I guess I'll just teach myself the wooden dummy then. And it was like, and I'm thinking the wooden dummy's not going to stop someone from punching you in the face. And he goes, well, I've already taught myself the wooden dummy from video. And I guess I'll just teach myself the long pole that way. Like suddenly he's telling me like what he's going to learn. Since when do you go to a martial arts school and be like, yeah, this is what I'm going to learn. You're not going to teach me. I'm going to do it anyway. All right. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, why don't you go ahead and show me your wooden dummy form? All right. So I told him to go to the wooden dummy and I said, go ahead. All right. And he performed the first set, 10 movements. And I said, stop. I said, you did 10 movements and there were 10 mistakes. And that's being really nice. All right. I go, this is not going to help you get any better at stopping a punch.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is you focus on the basics, get really good at that. And when you get good at it, you will. When you're ready, I'll teach you the wooden dummy. No problem. We're not going to hide it from you. You are just, after 3 weeks of training, we have to deprogram what you learned before. You're not ready for the dummy yet. All right? And he's like, oh, okay. And then he says to me, I really appreciate you being honest with me. I've had many instructors, and you are by far the best. And I was like, thank you. I mean, I was like, whoa, okay. Because for the first 3 weeks, my assistants were kind of trying to tell him the same thing, but maybe they were going about it. And I was just a little more direct. Like, you are not, if you cannot stop a punch or stop someone from grabbing you, this wooden dummy is not going to reveal the secret for you, right? And he appreciated it. So I was like, oh, maybe I finally got through to him, right? Great, right? I am an awesome Sifu, wise and knowledgeable, right? Okay. So the next week, I get a letter from him. He's quitting the school. All right. And he wrote this letter. This letter was hysterical. And it's definitely going in the book.
Oh, yes. I love it.
So he wrote like, you know, dear City Wing Chun, because City Wing Chun's a person.
Yeah.
I just formally tender my resignation. He's been in our school for 3 weeks. He's making it seem like he's the CEO of a company and he's leaving, right? I formally tender my resignation kind of thing, right? And writes this ridiculous thing like, you know, he's going to quit and like, you know, for us to not charge him and blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, I, for one, have seen no real chi sao at your school. Mind you, he's like a 3 week beginner learning the first form, learning how to step and punch. And like, was he expect that, oh, you want to try to do chi sao with my senior students? You cannot even step and punch, right? Oh, yeah. Not to mention, it's actually more difficult to teach someone who came from another Wing Chun school because you have to change so much about what they think Wing Chun is and how they move and stuff like that to get them at the same baseline as a beginner who never did it before.
Yeah.
You have to like get them to start from ground zero. You have to go backwards before you can go forwards, right?
Yeah, my idea of Chi Sao was totally skewed.
Yeah, because you came from a Jeet Kune Do background, right? So you got to start again, right? But there's no other way. That's literally the quickest way to learn.
Yeah.
Is forget what you did before and embrace this. If you were going to go and learn Jeet Kune Do, then you need to forget what you learned here and then go do that. I mean, like, I'm not saying that, oh, like, our methods are so like, literally any school you would go to, right? If one of my students left New York and then went to another Wing Chun school elsewhere, my advice would be, okay, you need to start from the beginning and respect that style that you're learning. And don't come in there and go, yeah, well, in WT we do it. Like, literally, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, be respectful of the school and embrace those methods because you are in their school learning it. Don't be the person like, yeah, well, actually, we do it like that. Like, don't be that guy. No one likes that guy. And you're not gonna get the best from that instructor if you act like that guy. And you have got to question, why are you even there? All right. Are you supposed to be teaching the class? Then go open your own school. Right. So that's kind of like my attitude with that. Right. So he says that, you know, he didn't see any real Chi Sao and he wrote like, ha, ha, ha. He wrote like, ha, ha, ha in the letter. And mind you, look, and here's the thing. It's on lined paper, written in pencil. And apparently the guy was an English teacher and it had spelling mistakes, grammatical errors. It was a hot mess.
It was a photo of a...
No. It was written in pencil on lined paper, but written poorly.
I thought it was an email. It wasn't an email.
No. He wrote an actual letter, all right? And it looked like if I told my daughter, Maria, to write with her non-dominant hand. Okay, I mean, it was ridiculous, okay? And mind you, he is a school teacher, supposedly, all right? Maybe he's as much of a school teacher as he was a black belt in Okinawan karate.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, he was like, I didn't see any real Chi Sao, ha, ha, ha. He wrote all this weird stuff, right? And then he signed the letter. He meant to sign it, The Last Dragon. So... You have to imagine.
The Lost Dragon.
No, The Last Dragon. The Last Dragon. All right. No. Wait. No. Wait. Hear me out. All right. He means to sign it The Last Dragon.
Yeah.
But he misspelled dragon, and he signed it Dragron. The Last Dragron. Okay. Now, mind you, this guy.
I can't.
Dude, this guy cannot even hang with my beginner students. He can't even stop a punch. He wants to teach himself from video. He can't do anything. And then he goes from, you know, finally seemingly accepting this lesson to deciding, no, I got to be the boss or whatever, right? And we actually used to have the letter pinned in the office.
Yes.
And we used to read it. We used to recite it because it's so funny. It has so many great lines. It's ridiculous. And it just shows, like, the level of narcissism and delusion that someone is able to have. Because this, to come back to the body dysmorphia thing, this is someone who is unskilled in martial arts, for sure. Regardless of what he said his background was. And for me, that doesn't matter. People come to me, they're unskilled. My job is to teach you skills. I have no problem. I don't care if someone is hardcore or whatever. The problem is you need to be accepting of where you are. And so he has reverse body dysmorphia. He looks in the mirror and he sees Arnold Schwarzenegger with the ferocity of Bruce Lee and the movement of Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And that's what he sees in the mirror.
Yeah.
But that's not what anyone else sees, okay?
Damn.
So anyway, this was funny. Obviously, we closed this account. We just laughed at the letter. It was super funny. And I was like, well, this is totally crazy, right? So we didn't think much of it. And then a few months later, I go down to the martial arts store in 6th Avenue.
And, 28th and 6th.
Yeah. And I walk in there because we used to get some equipment from them, right? And so I go in there and we get some kick shields and things like that, right? And I'm like, hey, how you doing? And yeah, I knew those peeps down there. And they're like, oh, Alex, there's a guy in here. He's talking really bad about you. And then I was like, I'm like, okay. I mean, that's fine. Let me guess. Is he a Wing Chun guy?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, all the Wing Chun people, yeah, I don't like that, whatever.
Oh,
and
man.
He goes, yeah, he has a school. And I go, oh, he's got a school. Okay, he's go, yeah, he put some flyers out there. And I go, oh, let me see.
Let me see these flyers.
And I go and I grab the flyers, and it's goggles.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
With goggles on in the flyer?
I don't remember. Well, he also wore glasses when he wasn't wearing his goggles.
Please.
And the crazy thing is he was wearing the Wing Chun shoes he got when he joined here. And also the pants.
He wore your shoes in
the
photo.
He wore the shoes in the photo, our shoes and the pants. And then he had, of course, like a phony frog button jacket because that's what every white dude puts on. And he's holding the long pole and he's holding it wrong. The tip of the long pole is way, way, way too high. It's like he's fighting Andre the Giant or something like that, right? And it's not resting on his front leg. Like he doesn't even know Dengji Ma. He doesn't even know like the basic way you literally hold the long pole. He's just like, holding it like this. And he called it Lightning Hands Wing Chun. And he goes,
this is great.
And I remember on the flyer he wrote, speed determines the winner. Mind you, nothing about goggles said scream speed, okay? All right? He was not...
Speed
he was
putting them goggles on.
Yes, yeah, you can put them goggles really fast on, right? And so... So he's like, speed determines the win. And he said that he taught Leung Teng Wing Chun. Now, at that time, I was still the New York representative for the Leung Teng Wing Chun, right? And so he's not in the association, and he didn't learn from any former member of the association. So he literally just put it on there. Like, look, I got the shoes. That means I'm official. Yeah, he got the shoes when he joined my school, right? But like, it was like, and he called himself, Dre, I shit thee not.
Please.
He was Grandmaster.
Oh, stop.
I'm not even
stop.
Kidding. 3 weeks of training with me, 1 year training at a totally non-WT unrelated school, and within 6 months, he called himself Grandmaster.
Oh, I just want to rip my own heart
yeah.
out right now.
And he's holding the long pole wrong, and he's got a bunch of nonsense about speed. Oh, speed. So let me get this straight. When a practitioner is really old and doesn't have those natural... So then your Wing Chun style won't work anymore, right? So, like, it's all about speed, like, literally the slowest person to ever come to City Wing Chun. And, like, that's your selling point, right? And so...
Lightning hands.
It was ridiculous, right? So then, okay, I bring this flyer back and I go, dude, guys, look at this. And they're like, what? And then we put that flyer on the wall next to his letter.
Yes!
All right? Okay? It was ridiculous. Oh, it was ridiculous, man. Okay? It was so wow. funny, okay? And then you know what? You know what's crazy, Dre? The story didn't end there.
No, this is too good.
It didn't end there.
It
okay?
just makes me so mad that yeah. I didn't join 20 years ago.
Yeah, because you would have been able to see all this stuff live, all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, one day, about a year later, we get a phone call. Okay? I got a flyer. It says, look, we were running a promotion like for 1 week. Like, you know, get a free week or whatever, and then you join or pay this for, well, it was some kind of promotion, right? Let's say it was a free week or a free intro lesson or whatever. And yeah, I got a flyer here for a free week at City Wing Chun. I want to come. I want to learn Wing Chun, right? And then Mike Yan took the phone call. And he goes, great. Yeah, absolutely. What's your name?
No, you, no.
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 No. Do not say it. Do not.
It was goggles. And so
you can't
and
make
so
this up.
Mike has the phone, and of course he knows this guy's
he knows
name.
The name.
He was one of the guys who taught him, right? And he goes, I'm not gonna give the guy's real name, right. But like, you know, are you the same, you know, goggle, we'll just call him Goggles McGee, just to give him a name.
Yeah.
Are you Goggles McGee who trained here like a year ago or a year and a half ago? Yeah. He goes, well, first of all, the free intro program is just for new students coming for the first time. You were already a student here. Didn't you write a letter that we didn't teach any real Wing Chun? And he goes, you know, Sifu doesn't want to have you back at the school. He's like, did Sifu say that? And he goes, well, I don't feel comfortable speaking for Sifu, but I think I could speak for Sifu in this case. He goes, wait a minute. Let me get your letter. You guys don't teach real Chi Sao, ha, ha, ha. Do you remember writing this? We have it on the wall. And he was like, oh, no, that was like a misunderstanding. And then he's like, and aren't you teaching Wing Chun now? Don't you call yourself a grandmaster? No, I still need a little, like,
oh.
And then he was like, nah, I'm sorry. Hung up on him, right? Yeah. And then,
ooh,
yeah, but isn't that crazy?
Stinging.
So he goes from like leaving the school to calling himself a grandmaster to wanting to take a free intro lesson. Now I said, hey, man, that's a life cycle right there. That was the first time I've ever produced someone who became a grandmaster and then wanted to come back and learn from me. So yes. Not only do I produce grandmasters.
He's a kung fu genius.
I also teach grandmasters. Yes. Right? Or grandmasters want to learn from me. Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. And then after great. That, he got really upset. And then every once in a while, he'll talk some shit about me on the internet. He actually found out about our podcast a few months ago, and he had like this explosive diarrhea of a comment. But it was super insulting. As a matter of fact, it wasn't insulting. Like, I don't care if he wants to make fun of me. But he, at the time when he learned, do you remember there was a time when I had dyed my hair blonde? That was it. So must have made that around 2007.
Okay.
That was before you came. But sometimes you might see some photos of me with blonde hair. Mm-hmm. That was around the time of Sifu Leung Ting's birthday. That apparently was the time when he learned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then his comment was like, he called me, and his words, he called me a fag for having my hair dyed blonde. And the entire content of his comment was a homophobic rant because I had my hair dyed blonde while he was learning from me.
Whoa.
And I read this and I go like, what is this dude's problem, right? So for me, I mean, look, if he wants to throw some heat my way or whatever, I mean, first of all, literally his letter and his fake Grandmaster flyer were hanging in my office for like a year. Yo. We got plenty of stuff to talk about that guy. But the problem was he's like, he's being nasty towards a community where that's like, first of all, why are you doing this? Yo. All right. All right. It's like it just shows what a kind of bigot and piece of crap he is. Right. And I just thought, you know, this is like super, super hurtful for someone who would read that, who could be gay. So I deleted the comment and I just banned him from YouTube because he's a piece of shit.
Wow.
All right.
And it's knew it was him because his tag.
Because his handle. He used his name. It's his name, and then immediately when you raise a guy, I trained at the school, blah, blah, and it was an entire disgusting homophobic rant.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, if he had not said any of that homophobic stuff, I would have left the comment there because I would have told everyone, hey, this is the guy who called himself a grandmaster and then wanted to come back after that, right?
Mm.
And he even had a video on YouTube where he did the 116 wooden dummy techniques according to the Leung Ting one, but he learned it from the poster because it's missing the eighth kick and it has the palms on the wrong side and the fifth. Yeah. So Siva Leung Ting literally did those two mistakes on the poster on purpose so that he knew who learned from the poster. So like everyone who knows, it goes, oh, he taught himself from the poster. So I mean, the guy's an absolute fraud, right? Right, and then the fact that he wrote that, it was like, ugh. It's like,
all right, so I have two questions then. First of all, so he's still teaching?
I don't think so. Okay. Yeah,
because right, I was just like, that's because I mean, it doesn't sound like he would have lasted longer than fucking 3 months.
No.
But also, like, I get why you deleted the comment because it's terrible. But did you at least screenshot it because he's clearly a clown?
You know what? I might have screenshotted it, but I didn't. Yeah. I didn't really care.
God forbid that he's still teaching. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes he's not. But he's no. He could have 10 students, which would be generous. And this is New York. How many millions of people we have? I mean, no one who actually cares about Wing Chun goes and learns from this clown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as far as I'm concerned, he's not a player in the Wing Chun world. Mm-hmm. No one is listening to the hot takes of Goggles McGee, right? He is the Beardy of Wing Chun instructors, right? And then so finally, maybe a slightly more lighthearted story, right?
Good stuff, man.
Just, you know, in terms of like the people who come in, right? So we had the crazy guy who said he learned from Bruce Lee in the DR.
This is only the second story, right?
So I told you like why I could do this stuff forever, right?
I love this shit.
But one of my all-time favorite stories, which is very indicative of the kind of, you know, perhaps EDP that sometimes walks in off the street. And like, you know, we've had EDPs join the school, right? And some of them even teach at City Wing Chun. So anyway.
Got through the
yeah, so
filter.
One time it was a Saturday. And you know the weird thing about running a martial arts school is by the time you get established and you have people helping you out, like we have, you know, in the front desk, either it's Carol or it's you or it's someone else or Craig or whatever, you know, people they can deal with walk-ins and stuff like that. You know, once your business gets to a certain level, well, the Sifu is not the one sitting in front of the front desk and signing up people for intros. You get a staff, you get assistants, you get people who do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed that even once I started getting other people to help me, the only time someone who is just batshit off their rocker would walk into the school is when I didn't have anyone there helping me. So right. I was just there by myself. Or I happened to be at the school, not during normal business hours. Maybe I was just there on a Sunday at 4 p.m. because I needed to get something. And then like the doorbell rings, buzz. Right? And then it's like, okay. And then that happens to be the moment. It's like, this person couldn't come in Monday through Friday at our normal business hours. They had to come on Sunday at 4 p.m. and I had to deal with them, right?
The right place at the right time.
The right place at the right time, right? I am the Wing Chun Forrest Gump, right? So anyway, this guy walks in and he is a very unassuming older Jewish gentleman.
Yeah.
He reminds me of, like, for people who know who the Jerky Boys are, If you ever heard Saul Rosenberg.
We love Saul Rosenberg.
Saul Rosenberg, all right?
Our generation.
Yeah, this very typical old style New Yorker, you know, like, oh, I grew up in New York. And everything is like a little bit of a complaint, you know. And so this guy sounded exactly like that. And he had like a, you know, like a cabbie hat. Like a Kangol style cabbie hat, right? And, you know, like a button up shirt and like, you know, like, you know, like he just looked like an older, innocent gentleman, right? Yeah. So I see this guy and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, not what I usually expect for someone who wants to learn Wing Chun, but you know, it comes in and I'm like, and let's just call him for the sake of this Mr. Rosenberg. All right. And I'm like, hey, sir, how you doing? Like, are you interested in martial arts? Because he's like, oh, I'd love to learn the martial arts. And I'm like, great. Well, you're in the right place. And he's like, but I really want to have a female instructor. And then immediately, like, I'm just going like, oh, this mother. Yeah, because then, now, you know, okay, this dude's like a creeper or something like that.
Whoa.
Right. Yeah. And so, although, you know, my only female instructor at that time was Nicole.
My CJ.
Yeah, and it's like, and maybe I'd be like, all right, this is exactly what a creeper needs. Yeah. Go ahead and take a lesson with Nicole.
Yeah.
She'll break your face if you try something, right?
Please do, by all means.
So anyway, I'm like, why is that? And he goes, because women understand kinetics. I'm like, kinetics? What is he talking about? Right? He goes, men, they only talk about strength and using force. And you know, I want a woman, they usually in tune with the kinetics, not using the muscles, using the kinetics.
Yo, this is great.
And I'm like, I'm going like, well, I assure you, Mr. Rosenberg, all of our instructors here are certified and they can teach you with the same level of quality. And it's not necessary, you know, in Wing Chun, we don't use force on force. We use, you know, Wing Chun fighting principles, so on and so forth. And all of my instructors here are more than qualified to teach you, you know, what it is you want to learn. And then he's like, oh, you know, I just want you to know I'm not a beginner. And
they're never beginners.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, that's okay. I'm like, we've taught all sorts of, you know, martial artists from other backgrounds, black belts, competitive martial artists. We teach all sorts of experience, no experience. All are welcome at City Wing Chun.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I used to do Tai Chi. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. You know, you might find some similarities between some aspects of Tai Chi and what we do here in Wing Chun. He goes, no, but the problem is that, you know, my Tai Chi got really powerful. And you know, I trained it for many years. And the problem was I started to levitate. And he says this to me with a straight face. And I look at this guy, and then for a brief moment, I was thinking, this is one of Mike Yan's friends, and he's mucking with me.
Where is he?
Yeah, I'm thinking, because, you know, Mike Yan's an actor, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, oh, this is one of his improv buddies. Yes. He's like, yo, I want you to clown my CV. Look, he's up there right now. No one knows he's up there. You just go up there, because why else is someone coming a Sunday at 4 p.m., right?
Perfect.
And there was a moment, he goes, no. He goes, the problem is, when you get to a certain level in Tai Chi, you can start to float up, like your feet go off the ground and you start to float. And he's telling me all this with a straight face. And I'm looking at him because I'm waiting for the facade to crack. And it's not cracking.
It's not.
This dude, he's looking at me in the eyes. And it's not like he's not overacting. He's not trying hard. He's telling me this with the same level of calmness that I would tell you that I'm going to go buy a sandwich right now.
Yeah.
It was just so matter of fact and normal, right? And then he goes, it got so scary, I wouldn't even go near airports. And I'm thinking, wouldn't go. The dude, because he says, because he goes, the problem was, I got to such a high level in the Tai Chi, that I couldn't control it. Meaning that he would spontaneously levitate. It would, like, it wasn't just that the dude could levitate, like he can go, yo, watch this, and levitate like David Blaine.
No.
He was at such a higher plane of existence, he would levitate without even trying. It would happen, wow. He wouldn't be able to control it. So what was the issue? couldn't go near airports because of low-flying aircraft. What if you started floating, you were near an airport, and you get clipped by a low-flying airplane?
How did he say it? How did he say it?
He goes, oh, it got to the point I just wouldn't even go near airports.
Why you can't go near airports?
The low-flying, you know, the planes are landing and taking off. They're not very high. And I'm just like, I'm like, what is going on here?
I gotta go. I gotta go to work.
Dude is so serious. The dude is so serious, right?
And I gotta go cover this shift.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Too
good. And I go like, okay. And he goes, yeah. And then he goes, could you, he goes, I want to throw a punch at you and I want to see how you react. And I looked at this guy, and I'm going like, because you have to imagine.
This doesn't happen.
No, this is like, you have to imagine, because everyone, people listening to this, okay, they're going to, in their mind, construct, oh, this is what I would have done if someone came in and said that crazy stuff, or this is what I would do if someone said he wanted to punch me. Mm-hmm. Until the moment that a 60-some-year-old Saul Rosenberg comes into your school and tells you how he flies because he did Tai Chi, and now I want to punch you to see what your reaction is. And like, and all of this is going on, and you're just like, your brain is switching between, is this dude putting me on?
Yeah.
Is this dude crazy?
Yeah.
Is this guy as harmless as he looks?
Yeah.
Or is this potentially going to become something? Is this New York?
The situation.
You don't know what this is. And here I am. I'm in my school. Hell? I'm by myself. I don't have cameras. At that time, I didn't have cameras.
Yeah.
There are no witnesses. This is an older guy in here. What is going on? I'm the one with all the liability. I got the business. What is going on? So your brain is quickly going through the calculus of like, okay, what is the tree branch of potential outcomes for anything that can happen now? And I said, okay. I said, sir, I can show you a little bit about what I'm going to do.
Mm.
But I just warn you that if you actually try to take a swing at me or you actually try to punch me with any intention or force, I'm going to have to defend myself. I go, but I can show you what I do.
Yeah.
But I don't know you, and you come in off the street, if you take a swing at me with serious bad intentions, I'm going to have to defend myself, and that's going to change the dynamic of this conversation. Okay? So I just want you to understand that.
Right,
and
right.
He goes, oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to punch you really slow. Okay? And I'm like,
stop,
okay?
Please.
I just want to see what you would do. And I'm like, okay. And then Dre.
No.
I shit thee not. He looks at me and he goes like this. He puts his hands up. And then he proceeds to throw the slowest punch anyone has ever launched at me in my entire life. It looked like, not to quote Ace Ventura, but I just introduced it to my daughter Maria the other day. I'm like, you got to watch some classics.
Okay.
Yeah. Forgetting how adult that movie was. Like, oh, we're fast forwarding through this part. But she loved it, by the way. And then, you know, where he does like the slow motion and then does it in instant replay. And he's going like, throwing the punch at me like at this speed. And I see this thing and I'm like, the hell is going on? And I'm thinking all of these in live time because that punch started 10 seconds ago. It's still not even halfway to me, right? And I just moved to the side and just placed my fist in front of his face. And then he goes, a little, you always got to go a little bit faster because you don't know. People change speeds and time warp all the time.
Time warps.
People, like, oh, let me see what you do. And then the moment you do something, they change it up. Oh, you don't know what this dude is, right?
Time warper.
So, I step in, I put my hand in front of his face, and I stop it there, and he goes, oh. And he looks at me, and he goes, wow, you have such control. And I'm going like, this is, what? I'd be like, look, I'm known for my control, but this by far was not a test of my control. I could have done a front somersault and kicked him in the time that it took me to do all this, like, it was ridiculous, right?
This is more a control of laughter at this point.
Yeah. So then he's like, oh, I would really love to learn it. And I go, okay, how about you come back on Saturday, and I'm going to have you talk to my assistant, Mike Yan, and he'll get you set up. And he can teach you. He's a qualified instructor. He's like, okay. And he left. I took his name and information. And I didn't think this dude's ever going to come back. I just thought, this is going to be a weird story.
Yeah.
No one is around to see it. Yeah. Okay? And, you know, I'm going to tell this story and people are going to be like, yeah, cool story, bro, right?
Oh, man.
Lo and behold, the next Saturday,
Mr. Rosenberg
comes. Mr. Rosenberg comes in. Now, at that time, we didn't have the moon gate in front of the fourth floor that we have now. We just had those the Asian-style dividers. So I could hear what was going on. And I was teaching a Saturday class, and I could see that he came in. I was like, oh, man, the dude came in. But I'm like, all right, I dealt with this dude already for like 10 minutes.
Mm.
Let Mike Yan deal with him. Mike Yan, who's an aspiring actor and stuntman. This is kind of more his level, right?
Oh, yes.
And so I'm there, I'm teaching my class, but I'm keeping like half an ear out to what's like going on because they're here at the front area, right?
You know.
I know, right? And I hear, you know, Mr. Rosenberg going through all the and I already told Mike everything that had happened. So Mike was like ready for this dude, right? And he goes like, yeah, you know, I did Tai Chi and I couldn't control the levitating. I would go off the ground and, you know, the problem is then I wouldn't go near airports. And then my student, Mike Yan, always the consummate professional. After Mr. Rosenberg, yeah, I wouldn't go near airports. Mike Yan, without skipping a beat, says, well, Mr. Rosenberg, one of the safety features here at City Wing Chun is we have 11-foot ceilings.
Safety feature.
Because we have 11-foot ceilings. And I was like, oh, my God. I almost lost it in the middle of teaching. I'm correcting a student's bong sound. I'm like listening, and I'm like starting to laugh. Because then I imagine walking in one day to City Wing Chun while this guy is having his lesson, and there's this 60-something-year-old Mr. Rosenberg stuck to the ceiling. Oh, I started levitating. And then Mike's going, but see, we only have 11-foot ceilings. You can't go that high. No need to worry about planes here at City Wing Chun, right?
You're good.
Of course, it takes like a theater-trained actor to come up with something like that, you know? I was just like, holy Shinto, that's ridiculously funny. So anyway, Mike Yan, to his credit, signed up Mr. Rosenberg.
Oh, yes.
He signed him up to do private lessons because Mr. Rosenberg didn't want...
With CJ Nicole?
No. With Mike Yan himself.
Okay.
And Mr. Rosenberg bought like 20 private lessons at once.
Mm.
And we charged him like full rate, non-student rate, because he didn't join the regular group class. So he paid the wazoo rate.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought a uniform. He bought one of every book we had at City Wing Chun. He bought all of the equipment. He bought everything.
Everything.
He left. That day, I think he paid us almost $4,000.
Awesome. All right? Awesome.
And he paid it all in cash.
And he came to every class, I'm
sure. No. Here's what happened.
I'm sorry, again.
He came to the first lesson, and Mike Yan taught him.
Uh-huh.
And I remember... Mike Yan told me, he says, yeah, you know, after I was teaching him the Sunam Tao, he only wanted to learn the Sunam Tao. He didn't want to learn fighting. He wanted to learn this. He's one of these guys. I'm going to teach you Wing Chun. Then they just teach me that thing I see everyone doing. Okay. And then Mike would show him the Sunam Tao, like the first set or something, right? And then he told me that he would put his hands down and he'd go, how do you know where to put my hands on my body for the form? He goes, that's amazing. Like, Mike is literally teaching him the same Sunam Tao we teach every single other person who comes to City Wing Chun. But meanwhile, Mr. Rosenberg thinks he's getting a custom-crafted form based on his special kinetics. He took one lesson.
Wild.
He absolutely loved it. I was there at the end of the lesson. He was saying, oh, you were totally right. Your student understands the kinetics and whatever he had in his head or whatever. And it's like, oh, it's so great. And we never saw him again.
Oh.
And we never saw him again. So as much as I clown this guy, all right, the guy paid nearly $4,000 for 45 minutes of our time. Well, counting the two times he came in, an hour and 15 minutes. So basically the length of this podcast cost that guy $4,000.
Wow.
And we never saw him again. And I started to think, you know, I would love to have more students like this who just come in, pay, and then they never go. We never have to teach them, right? Of course, the paying students, they come, they learn, we got to work, right? But every once in a while, if some guy wants to come
in, tell me
a story about how he's afraid of getting hit by planes, drop $4,000 and never come in again, I don't have a single problem with that.
No problem.
I'm totally all right with that.
Please.
Yeah. wild, right?
Yeah.
So these are some of the stories that I'm going to end up putting up in my book.
Oh, I can't
there
wait.
There are more.
What's the name of this book?
And I'm not telling. And even with the, we'll just call it Tales of a Kung Fu Genius. All right?
Tales of the KFG.
That's the subtitle, by the way, not the main title.
All right.
And anyway, so, and of course, each of these stories, actually more details, and because I wrote a lot of this stuff down. And so when I tell it in a book, even some of the stories that I've already told on the podcast, I'll tell them with a little bit more detail.
It's better be a thick book.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's still weird. I don't, because it's a bit like an autobiography, and I think you got to be kind of a bit of an asshole to write your autobiography when you're like still, like, I mean, it's kind of a bit like, well, let me tell you a little bit more about me, right? But I want to focus more on these stories. It's not really about me. It's about these kind of crazy stories and interactions and how they kind of shape what we did. And so I look forward to it. And there are a lot more stories. We'll see if people like this episode. If they like it, I'll tell more of them. But, you know, that's all I got to say about that.
Oh, man. I want to clap.
Mr. Rosenberg, you're welcome back to City
Ring
Show.
We missed you. I joined the school 10 years too late.
You did. And that's all I got to say about that. All right, guys, well, how did you like the third installment of New York Stories? Do you want me to do more of these, or would you prefer that I do the regular AMAs? Let me know in the comments below, and I'll see you guys next time.
Word is I'm a kung fu genius. Technique speaks for me, not lineage. Forget Jet Li, because I'm the one. Many call me Sifu, but to you I'm Si Gung, and I produce masters. You surpassed us. Your kung fu stiffer than corpse and caskets. City Wing Chun is the house I built. Violate the gate and your blood gets spilt. Alex Richter, always the victor.
Are we recording audio?
Yes, we f***ing well are.
All right, fantastic. Let's... Bitch, you fancy.
You
all right,
fancy.
So...
Are you fancy,
here we go.
Huh?
You ready?
Are you fancy, huh?
Ready?
Hair did, nails did, yes. All right, peeps. On today's episode of The Kung Fu Genius, the genius will be talking.
Be telling some crazy New York stories.
So good.
Lots of, Mr. Rosenberg, watch out for that airplane. You got to go like, you're like, Mr. Rosenberg, watch out for that airplane. Let's get to it. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, dude. Boom, done. Thank you.